our associate pastor is going to preach to us now. And that's my introduction.
I like it when Pastor opens for me. Opening show there. Appreciate that. Luke chapter 5. Tonight. And tonight will be more kind of a message and a challenge to you. And then for the next 3 weeks, I will be using PowerPoint. That's right. That's not PowerPoint, actually. It's, you know, Keynote, Note Key, whatever it is, that thing on my computer that Brother Latta told me to use. And I don't have no clue about that stuff, but I know that's helpful. And so each night from here on out, we'll go through and we're going to use the three phases of why you need to be saved, who can save, and how you can be saved. And we'll break those down and talk about the law. By the way, the law is an important part of understanding why you're lost. And the Old Testament is not just there so you can skip it and get to Matthew. It's there for our learning, but also it lays a foundation for salvation and understanding why. The law was not there to necessarily to be a hindrance. It was there to be a guideline of the things we couldn't do and that Christ could do. But it is a way of life. And so anyway, we'll talk about that later on. But I take it very seriously when I've taught this for a couple of years at seminary. And by the way, I'm not a master at soul winning outreach, and I don't think anybody is. And I don't claim to be an expert in this field. I just know that I've just done it since I got saved and got into the ministry 20 years ago. And I had a great teacher at our home church. And the way you learn is to get out there and do it. Yeah. And just talk to people. And trust me, I still stutter when I meet people. Last night we had a lady come out the door, and I was, my wife's looking at me like, what in the world's going on? It took me a minute to get my engine going. But soul winning is just an outreach, is something I take very seriously, because really and truly think about the lives that will be affected for eternity. And when it comes to outreach, when it comes to soul winning, personal evangelism, and things like that, I think we ought to take it more serious. And I'll give you a story later on. I hope that will help to understand that. Let me give you a few things just as a way of introduction before we get into Luke chapter 5. Number one, I want you to know that in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 13 and 14, and you can write those down, there's three times in the Bible specifically that God says, ye are something, or ye shall be something, and we'll go over that one. But two times in verses 13 and 14, he says, number one, ye are the salt of the earth. The second thing he says, that ye are the light of the world. And so salt is something that is a savor, but light is something that is shown. And so I believe we have to be both light and salt. I believe we have to be that shines for Christ out of our life. But to be salt, you've got to interject yourself into somebody's life in order to affect that life. And then the last thing, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, y'all know this one. He says, ye shall be witnesses after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses. So he says, ye shall be witnesses. Well, when does that happen? Well, after a person gets saved, you become an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the greatest effective way to be a witness for Him is to be a Spirit-filled Christian. Hello? And we're going to talk about tonight following and fishing. Following and fishing. One of those is my favorite. One I have to be reminded to do. And so look, if you will, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, very familiar story. We see it says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Oh, if it would be that way today. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if the pastor came into the church and it was so packed that people were just pressing and pressing? Hallelujah, that'd be good. Notice what it says. He pressed to hear the word of God. He stood at a Lake Gerasen, Galilee, and he said and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So get the picture here. So here's Peter, James, John, and Andrew. We know if you read the other accounts, that these main four were there. And they were done fishing for the night. They toiled all night. We'll see that here in a little bit. They're washing their nets. They're mending their nets. They're done for the day. And Jesus enters into one of the ships. So get this picture. So here they are up on the bank. And they're washing their nets. They're cleaning their nets. And these nets, most of the time, would have been made out of linen. So they had to wash them off, tie them back, mend them, and make sure they're hung out to dry so they don't rot and things like that. And Jesus hops into Simon Peter's boat and hollers back at Simon and says, "Simon, thrust out a little from the land." Now, can you imagine the reaction from Peter? Well, he says it here in a little bit. Notice what he says. And now when he had left speaking, verse 3 again, he says, he entered the ship of Simon. He said, "Thrust out a little from the land," and sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4 says, he left speaking and said, "Simon, I'm not done with you yet." He said, "Launch out into the deep." We know this verse because one of our themes. "And let down your nets for a draw." And Simon answered unto him, "Master, I sure am tired." Hello, you ever had those days? He says, "We have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And verse 6 says, "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And their net brake, and he beckoned unto their partners." Wouldn't it be good if we had to go out there and reach so many souls for Christ that we had to ask for help because the harvest was so great? I'm telling you, that would be exciting. If I had to call Brother Clark and say, "Brother Clark, come over to such and such apartment complex. We got people lining up out there. Hey, can you come help us?" I believe it can be done, by the way. But I think there's a key ingredient that we'll see here in just a moment. Notice what he says, and they begin to sink. Their ships were filled to the point of sinking. Verse 8 says, "And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" Why did he do that? Because he was doubtful what the Lord could do. He allowed the Lord. Anyway, I got to keep going. Verse 9, it's not missing necessarily. Verse 9 says, "And when he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not.'" Now notice what he says. "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch" what? You already know how the know-how to catch fish. We're going to take that know-how and we're going to apply it to something that is eternal. Wow, by the way, I love fishing. I could take or leave hunting. Anything else really, I could take or leave, but I love fishing. But I want to tell you is that when you lead a soul to Christ, it cannot compare to anything in this world. When you know that God has used you in order to take somebody that is headed to hell and now they are a child of God, I say hallelujah. So notice what he says. Here's the key, verse 11. I want you to get this and we'll go on tonight. And it says, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." We'll pray and then we'll talk about following and fishing. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight. And God, certainly tonight, what an awesome responsibility we have to be those who care about others. And God, you said in the book of Jude, in verse 20, you said, "Then some having compassion, making a difference." God, I want to be that one. Lord, I want to be that one that, Lord, that you would use to reach somebody. And God, that you would open up the portals of heaven and give us a revival in this land because your people are out there doing what we're supposed to do. Now, God, I pray through this scripture tonight and through some things that we'll say, Lord, that you've given to me, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to the area of outreach, God. Lord, help us now, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I give you three things out of this passage, and I hope that it'll help you because I think sometimes we can just go out there and in the world and we can begin to witness. And by the way, I believe we'll all agree, and we'll talk about this later, the hardest people to witness to is family. I have a father who was lost. I pray for my father now 25 years. 25 years I pray for my father every day in my life, sometimes three or four times a day, praying that God would save my father. I have witnessed to my father on numerous occasions, and my father, my mother-in-law knows him very well.
And my father's a very prideful man. He's a very hard man. And I've witnessed to him several times. And my son has witnessed to him several times. Matter of fact, he hung up on my son the last time. My daughter has written him letters. Shelby has, I'm talking to y'all as if y'all don't know my kids. Shelby has wrote my dad many letters witnessing to my dad. I have left numerous tracts in his house that made him very angry. Because I put them all in his medicine cabinet and in his bedroom. And I was just trying to be a witness to my father. And then I believe there are some tactful things, and I'll give you these later on, of how to witness to family. And I believe it is different witnessing the family than it is anybody else. I tell people all the time, I told the guys at the seminaries and ladies at the seminary, I said, I'd rather witness to a stranger than I would my family sometimes. I'd rather not know their baggage. And I'd rather them not know me. But we'll talk about these things, but what is the key? What is the key? And I believe there's three things. I want you to get this, because none of us are born fishermen. I was not born a fisherman. I was born with the love of fishing because of my grandfather. My grandfather took me fishing whenever I was a young kid. I was raised on the river. I was fishing by myself by the time I could drive, and that was at the age of 14 in the country. I would drive down to the creek. I would fish that creek by myself. I don't know what my mom was thinking. And maybe she didn't know. And I fish rivers at night, and I love fishing. But the more I grew, the more I started to understand about fishing, the more fish I began to catch. I've caught bigger fish in the last few years than I have in all my life. It's because I learned where to go, what bait to use, what rod and reel I need to use for that specific place. By the way, I believe that we ought to go where God wants us to go. Peter and James and John and Andrew had been fishing all night. I don't know about you, but if they went all night, I'm sure they didn't sit in one spot and say, well, this is where we always caught them. I believe they probably moved around and they put that net down and they tried. But until the Lord Jesus gets involved in our efforts of fishing, we fish in vain. Listen, you can go out there and witness just so you can come back to the church and say, bless God, I had 25 saved. That should never be our motive. Our church has never been about that. We'll rejoice with you if you win a soul, but we're not here so you can come back in and say, I want 25 people to the Lord. I did it. And they never dart into this church, and they're just as lost as they were when you first found them. Because I want to tell you, there are people out in this world that will say that they're a Christian, but they won't possess Him. Because they're trying to get you off their porch. By the way, I've been sowing with those guys. I was soul winning with a guy one time, and he was from our home church, and I went soul winning in Fort Worth one time, and we went out there, and we were really soul winning just for our school. Made us go soul winning. You had to write it down. So we went out, and I represented Lakeland Baptist Church, and he represented another church. I ain't going to tell you what it is. We were out there, and he was so obnoxious, we saw people saved, but I was ready to get saved just so he'd leave me alone. I'm telling you, and it was all about filling that sheet out that said so-and-so's name, and this is how many I want to the Lord. By the way, folks, think about eternity. The key, three things, keys, I get into this, but let me say this anyway about fishing, is that the older I get and the more skilled I get in fishing, the more and bigger fish I catch. Because I've grown as a fisherman. And plus, I love Pastor having a boat. Because we can go where they're at. Used to, anybody like me had to fish on the bank? Hated bank fishing. Because everybody that came in on the boat had fish. And I had the fish that they didn't want and gave away when they were at the landing. I'd come home and Donya would be like, man, you got a lot of fish today. I said, you stand by the landing long enough, people feel sorry for you. I mean, people come in and say, hey, and we do that even today. We get back to the land, we're like, we don't want to clean these fish. And there's some people standing by, we're like, hey, y'all want some fish? Oh, yeah. So I learned just to go down there and throw a pole in there, and you don't even need no bait. And I'll go home with fish, and I ain't even got to pay attention. And people come in and say, hey, son, you need some fish? I'm like, yeah. I'd go home, and I'd have a bucket full of fish, and my wife would be like, man, you're a great fisherman. You're right, you just got to know where to go. You got to know where to stand and how to look, right? And at that time, I had a beat-up truck, so they felt sorry for me. And I'm out there with a Zip Code 33 Superman rod and reel, you know, not maybe quite that bad, but it was pretty bad. But here's the thing is that God has given us every tool in His tackle box that we'll ever need to reach a soul for Him. He's given us His Son. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And He's given us His Word, which is a two-edged sword, piercing even divine to sunder the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is what this is. This is the power of God. And the power of God, matter of fact, He says that after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and after that you're saved, I'm going to give you the power and the ability to become witnesses. But you have to remain salt and light. Now, let me give you three things. Number one, there's a forsaking. Notice in verse 11. In verse 11, it says, they forsook all. They forsook all. There is nothing we have of ourselves that can take somebody from on their way to hell and take them and put them on their way to heaven. There is nothing in you, humanly speaking, that can do that. You must forsake yourself. By the way, I don't know about you, I'm telling on myself tonight, but there's a lot of Tuesdays and a lot of areas I don't feel like going out. Hello? And apparently a lot of people have that feeling. Right? It's hard sometimes. You look at your schedule and you go, I don't know where, you know, sometimes you've got to forsake what you want to do and do what God wants you to do. These fishermen, I'm pretty sure, did not want to go back out there. I don't know about you, but there's been times me and Pastor and the boys have got back to the landing and we were supposed to go eat and come back and go back out. You just don't feel like it. After you take that boat out of the water and you go and you're like, I don't want to go back. Sometimes I know some of you work all day and Tuesday nights is just like, ugh. But I'm going to tell you, there has to be a forsaking. We have to realize this, it's not about me and you. You know what I'd love? I'd love somebody to go to McClammy Road in MacDavid, Florida tonight and knock on my dad's door and tell him about Jesus. Let me ask you this. How many of you in this church were one at your house or your door because somebody knocked your door? Raise your hand. Anybody? Nobody here, right? How many of you are saved tonight? Say amen. Amen. All right, so that's what matters. But there's not a lot of people going out and witnessing the people. But how many of you were led to the Lord by a parent or a friend? Raise your hand. Oh yeah, there they go. You see, sometimes the difference is even when you're at work forsaking yourself and allowing God to use you at work, allowing God to use you in your family. It's not just about going out there knocking doors. It's about being a Christian and acting, being salt and light everywhere you go. Because you are always fishing. No matter where you go, you're always fishing. By the way, I know when I'm fishing. I am not fishing tonight, literally speaking. I'm not. There's no water right here. Actually, there is still water in the baptistry. I noticed that a while ago. But we don't have fishing poles. We're not fishing tonight, literally speaking, are we? I know when I go to the lake, I'm going. Some people think, well, the only time I'm going fishing is when I come on Tuesday night and Saturday mornings. But see, that's the wrong mentality. By the way, I've had that wrong mentality before. I have to be reminded every day that it's not about me, it's about Him. Because I know that it may be in that restaurant, that waitress looks at me and she sees something in me that she doesn't have, and she asks me, what is different about you? Be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is within you. Be in season, out of season. That's just not talking about preachers, that's talking about Christians. You got to be ready wherever you go to forsake yourself and your will. Now the second thing is following. You got to follow the Lord. Notice what He said, forsake all and followed Him. Now, if you read over Matthew, he talks about, matter of fact, turn over there if you will, turn to John 21, I looked at the wrong one. John 21, I believe it is Matthew, that's what I get for not writing it down. No, don't read that, it ain't John 21, I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore, I'm pulling one of pastor's stunts, Sunday, you write it down wrong, and it's like, well, sometimes you... Anyway, it is in Matthew. I believe it is chapter something other. Somebody finds it, let me know. But talks about this. He says that they follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Yeah, Matthew 4. There you go. Turn over there. Hallelujah. Hey, we have a winner. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. There you go. Matthew chapter 4, verse something. Yep, verse 19 says, He saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. There it is. That is the key. He says, I will make you fishers of men. You're not born a natural person who witnesses to others. It's something that we are taught and something that we learn. That's why we're having these type classes that we'll be having for these Wednesday nights. It's because I want to become a better soul winner. I want to be a better witness to those around me. I want to be a better person that represents Jesus Christ. And I know you do too. That's why you come to church. Amen? Hope so. Don't leave me hanging. But notice what happens here. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It's a process. We all, every day, should learn how to better reach people for Jesus Christ. In verse 11, he said, follow and followed him. By the way, I believe following Christ is synonymous with fishing. Because if you're following Christ, he's going to lead you to the right soul. By the way, every time we go out, me and Brother Chad went out Saturday for the bus, and we were just trying to reach people. And Matt, we prayed and asked God to help us and to lead us to the right homes. And he did do that and led us to his good home. But he led us to some apartments. And it was amazing because we pulled up in there, and it was a gated one, and the gate was open. But it did say no soliciting. We sat there and we prayed. We said, we don't know if this would be right. Let's go to the front office. Let's do this thing right. Went in the front office and asked the lady. So she said, what do you need? And so we handed her one of our tracts and pamphlet things and said, we would like to, pick up kids for the bus ministry here. She said, oh, that'll be great. She says, we have a meeting every 3 weeks or something like that. She says, we'll invite you there to speak to our residents. I said, hallelujah. I told Brother Chad, do you realize how many people live in this apartment complex that we're going to be able to speak to? And she took her number down. She wasn't just blowing us off. I didn't feel like she was. And I was like, hallelujah. And I got excited. I was like, well, we got a Christian school. We got Sunday school. I was like, maybe I took it too far. She's looking at me like, I mean, we could tell them about everything. That's an open door. See, God did that. But we could have very well started knocking doors. And we've done that before. And make them mad and they kick you out. Then you're done. But see, I believe we followed the Lord. And in following the Lord opened doors. And so follow Him. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we ought to follow Him to the extent of that when God wants to lead us to somebody to witness to, that we are there and we're ready to go. By the way, it's kind of hard to go fishing if you're not ready to go fishing. If pastor calls me and says, you catching anything, and I'm sitting in my living room, I'm obviously not ready. But if I'm in the boat with him and I'm in the back seat and I'm holding a pole in my hand and I got my bait in the water, he's got his bait in the water, and he says, hey, are you ready? I'm, yeah. But just like fishing, I cannot dive in that water and grab that catfish and hook him on. Now, if you want a noodle, you can. But God bless you. I like my hands too much. We're from Florida. You ever stuck your hand in an alligator's mouth? I don't think you come back waving. But I can't go down in that water and grab that catfish and put him on my hook and go back up to the boat and reel him in. I just have to put my bait in the water and do the thing that me and somebody else that pastors this church hates. It's called wait. I got to tell a story. We took Brother Latta. Brother Latta is... I think he's on steroids. I'd like to call him Speedy Gonzalez. I don't believe he ever stops. I was riding in the car with him the other day. He was driving. He was texting, drinking a Coke and eating a hamburger and putting makeup on. I don't even know what I always do. But the whole time he's just moving. He's just spinning around that chair, I'm telling you. But we took him fishing. The man cannot stand still. He does not like to wait. He was up and down that boat. He said, I like bass fishing. That way I just do this. Well, I got to tell you the other story too. He fell off the boat. Pastor's my witness. He looked up at me and said, has anybody ever fell off this boat? Within 2 minutes, I heard, poosh. And I look over the boat and I see two big old eyes looking at me going. And he's got his rod and reel and his phone holding both of them. He doesn't like to wait. Neither do I. By the way, patience is not one of our... But you know what the Bible says about patience? It says, let patience have her perfect work. What work is it? It's the work of God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's the work of the Lord. We should just follow Him. Lord, where are we going today? Lord, if we're going this way, Lord, why are we here? You ever ask that? And then all of a sudden you meet somebody that you would have never met on your own that God put in your path? God's done that to me so many times, and I've gone places. I'm thinking, why am I here? And all of a sudden you meet that person and you're like, hello, sir. You look like you're having a bad day. Can I pray with you about something? And all of a sudden you're in a one-hour conversation with somebody whose life's falling apart. I met a guy a couple years ago. I didn't forget what I was doing, but Lord put me in this guy's pathway. And I noticed that the guy didn't look like he was having a good day. And I walked up to him and I said, sir, I said, you okay? And he began to talk to me and come to find out he was a preacher's kid and all these things. And so we struck up a conversation. He said, to be honest with you, he said, I believe the day was going to be my last day on this earth. He said, I was done. He said, thank you for taking your time. By the way, I didn't really want to, necessarily. But it's about following the Lord, and the Lord led me to the right person. Sometimes God's going to lead you places you don't understand. Lord, why am I here? You know? But you're there for a reason. I can't help but to think that Brother Deutsch probably thinks, why did God lead me to Boise just to turn me back around and send me back to Texas? But what Brother Doris may not know, or he probably does know, is that maybe there was that one soul in Boise that needed to hear the gospel and get saved. Maybe it was two souls. Whatever it may be, we don't know the mind of God. We just follow Him. And sometimes we chalk things up to, well, that was a mistake. No, God says, no, that wasn't a mistake. No, that was no mistake, because if one gets saved, God values one soul greater than we do. We think if we move our family halfway across this country that there better be a revival. There better be a Billy Graham crusade breakout. But God says no one is worth it. Now let me give you the last thing and I'm done tonight. Last thing we have to see that we must forsake. In order to be the witnesses we need to be, we must follow, but also it takes faith. By the way, Jesus... Or the disciples said that they forsook all. By the way, they forsook their boats, their nets, forsook their fish. Now, we heard not too long ago that maybe they went up and sold them and used that for mission money. I don't know. But I do know the Bible says they forsook all. You say, what does that mean? I believe they left it all. Because they saw the value of following the Lord. And they believed that He could take care of them. By the way, I don't know about you, but I'm confessing all my sins tonight. Well, not all of them, just two of them. Yeah, there's a bunch. But there's times on Saturdays that I've gone out and I've gone, I'm wasting my time. I don't know about you, but we've had weeks and weeks and weeks of doors going. Me and Brother Chad had two Saturday. Out of ever how many we knocked that day. We had two people slam the door in my face. I've had times where it seemed like nobody was ever listening. And you know what happens in my heart? I get a little impatient. And I think, man, I just lose faith. You know the one thing that the disciples asked the Lord to do to them? To increase their faith. And Jesus goes on to tell them in that same passage, He says, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. It doesn't take a lot of faith to believe that God can do what He can do. He's already said that He wants to use you and me. Ye shall be witnesses. You're my witnesses. You're the tool I'm going to use in order. How shall they hear without a what? A preacher? That's not talking about Brother Crawford and Brother Wiggins and Brother Cox. That's talking about you. You are the preacher. You're the mouthpiece of God, just as John the Baptist was when he came out of the wilderness crying and preparing the way for Jesus. That's what me and you are. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are representatives of Him. And all He asks us to do is forsake all. Forsake what we want to do. Forsake our will and say yes to His. Follow Him and have faith that He will do what He said He'll do. That'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? By the way, faith is something easy to talk about and hard to do. We must be those of action. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Without faith it's impossible to please Him. Faith is what moves the very hand of God. And believing that when you knock on that door, or when you witness to that family member, that God's going to do something in their life. Every time I see my dad now, and the Lord allowed me to see him last week, I spent about 30 minutes with him. That's all I had. And I know in order to witness to my father, I have to let him open up the conversation. Now, he's been to hear me preach. He's been to hear my brother preach. But I know that the way the conversations have to go in order for him not to get mad is for him to ask me questions. And I truly believe when I went and saw him last Thursday morning that my father was going to get saved. Now, did he? No. But in my heart, I believe, Lord, this is the day. Lord, you're going to use circumstances in order for me to talk about Jesus. Didn't work that time, but you know what? My cousin's wife died last week. His son died today. I may have to go back to Florida. It's be 3 times in 3 weeks. Pray for me. I got more air time than most people do in 3 weeks. But you know what? It may not be about my cousin's son dying. It may be about my dad. And I'm waiting on the Lord. Pastor asked me today, he said, "Do you need to go? You go." And I appreciate that about our pastor. I'm waiting on the Lord. I really am. Lord, if this is the time I need to go, if I need to be there for my family, or if I need to be there for my dad, you let me know, Lord, what I need to do. There was a man in town. He was a very gruff man. He had 3 boys. He was a very stern man, and they lived on a bay. And one night, he heard a knock at the door, and he thought his sons were fast asleep. And the man came running to the front door, and he was knocking on the door. He said, "Sir," he said, "we need your help." They knew the man had a boat and was able to go out into the waters there, but there was a storm that came up, and the man was being on the door, so the gentleman opened the door, and he said, "What do you want?" He said, "There are 3 boys that are out in a boat, and they're crying for help because the boat is taking on water, and they're crying for help, and nobody here has a boat. You have a boat. We need your help." And the man said, "Well, it's not my kids. They're in the bed asleep." And slammed the door. The man laid in the bed for a few moments and began to think, "Are my boys in bed?" He goes upstairs and he opens to the first door, and nobody there. He opens the next door, which 2 boys joined in that bedroom, and they wasn't there. He went outside and the town people were pulling the 3 bodies from the water. The man said, "Sir, why didn't you help us?" The man said, "Well, I didn't think it was my kids." Here's the lesson. If we knew that it was our kids, would we go? But I want to remind you that it's somebody's kids. And that we should have compassion upon whomever. Because God is a whosoever God. And I'm thankful for that. We ought to treat outreach as if those that are dying and going to hell are our own. Because that's the way God looks at it.
For God so loved the world. That's why he gave. It's because he loved the world. He didn't love just the Jews. He loved all. And that's the mentality me and you need. And when we have the mentality that we will forsake, follow, and have faith, God will allow us to reach others. I hope you'll come back next week. We're going to talk about why you need to be saved. That's a pretty good thing to understand. But I want to challenge you tonight. I know we'll have an invitation. I'm going a little long, but why don't we come down and say, God, let me be somebody who can reach another. Because it may be a family member. It may be a neighbor, whoever it may be. Why don't we use these altars tonight? Let's stand. I'll pray and then Pastor, you come. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. God, help us to make a difference by having compassion. Lord, I know we need to forsake our own will and follow you and have faith that you can do what you said you'd do. And Lord, we ask you to bless tonight. Lord, I pray you lay burdens upon all of our hearts. Lord, there's people here tonight that know people that are saved. I pray through this that, Lord, we'd all get a burden for those and for all. Lord, help us to love others. We love you, Lord. I ask you to bless in Christ's name. Amen.